And if you remember last week, we looked at what it meant to take hold of what Christ had laid hold of us for, how to get to grips with the purposes of God for our lives, particularly as we go into this new year, as we go into 2022. And this week I'd like to consider this in the context of that message of Isaiah that Donald read, and particularly the proclamation there in verse 8 and 9 that God is doing a new thing. And I want us for a moment just to look a little bit at the context of this passage, because it's always helpful to understand what the passage meant to the people it was written to before we start to apply it to ourselves. It's easy to take biblical passages out of context and just apply them to ourselves without really understanding what they were originally written for. And in this passage in Isaiah 43, we know that from the dates of the kings that are mentioned in Isaiah, that Isaiah prophesied from round about 740 to 690 BC. So from the middle of the 8th century to the beginning of the 7th century BC, about 690 to 740 years before Jesus came, Isaiah was prophesying. And that period was particularly significant for two things. One was that during the time that Isaiah prophesied, the northern tribes of Israel were taken away into captivity in Assyria. So Assyria, a violent people, conquered Israel and took them away into captivity. But they were not able to conquer Judah. Judah escaped at that time. But by the time that Isaiah is prophesying, he's looking ahead round about 100 to 150 years to a time when Judah itself, the southern tribes, would be captured and overcome by the Babylonians. And they'd be taken away to Babylonia in exile. And a lot of Isaiah's message is about that time of being conquered, of being taken into captivity, and of the restoration that would follow, because the captivity, as we know, wasn't the end of the story, because they were restored. You remember when Cyrus, king of the Medes and Persians, conquered Babylon and sent the Jews back home. But as well as that immediate historic context, because Isaiah had a message about the days that Israel and Judah were living in. He had a message for them about their own time and their own context. But as well as the immediate historic prophesying, we see a whole layering of further prophetic revelation of the Messiah, of Jesus. And as you read through Isaiah, you see that there is it's like a twin track. There is an immediate historical context, which is about what God has to say to his people about the times in which they're living. But there's also a parallel layering of prophecy, which is about the Messiah who is to come, the anointed one, the Christ, and how in many ways his coming and his liberating of people would mirror how God was going to liberate his people from captivity to the Babylonians. So you have this immediate historical issues, which are still future, but are in the immediate context. And you have this coming kingdom of the Messiah, which mirrors the restoration of Judah. And in Isaiah 42, where we begin, the Messiah, the servant of God, as he is called there, it says, I have put my spirit upon him. The Father has put his spirit upon him. So he is the anointed one. He is the Christ. And his call in verses 1 to 4 that we read, you see that the purpose of the Messiah was to establish very much justice for the broken and the oppressed upon the earth. So verses 1 to 4 are about how the Messiah would establish justice to the broken and the oppressed upon the earth. And then verses 5 to 7 are about how he will establish righteousness upon the earth. And of course, justice and righteousness, in Psalm 89, the psalmist says, justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. In other words, when God's kingdom comes, Jesus establishes justice and righteousness upon the earth. And so, from verses 1 to verse 7, that is what the prophecy is about. But not surprisingly, in verses 8 and 9, through Isaiah, the Spirit of God is saying that this is a new thing that God is doing. Because he's not just bringing Judah back from captivity, but he's doing a new thing and releasing the nations, releasing the Gentiles from their captivity to Satan, releasing the nations from their captivity to darkness. And so God is doing a new thing upon the earth, in which he is not just releasing his own people of Israel and Judah, but he is releasing the Gentiles. He's coming to you and I, he's coming to the islands, he's coming to the distant shores, and he's bringing liberty and release to us. And so then in verses 10 to 13, you have this response that is called for. Sing a new song to the Lord. And God's new thing, God's new different activity calls for a song of praise in response. The new thing that God is doing is to be met with a creative joy among God's people. The new thing that God is doing is to be met with a response of faith among God's people, a faith-filled praise at the revelation of God's new purposes. And again, we see there in verse 13, it says, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will prevail against his enemies. And we saw that last week, remember, when we looked at Isaiah 9, how it talked about the zeal of the Lord would fulfill the coming of the government of God upon the earth through the birth of Jesus. And we see it again here, that the zeal of the Lord will prevail against the enemies, against darkness, against Satan, against the evil things in the world. The zeal of the Lord shall prevail. And then finally, in verses 14 to 17, God exclaims that like a woman in labor, he is longing to give birth to this new activity that will firstly result in the restoration of Judah from captivity, but much more will result in the release of the Gentiles from darkness. And it will be like a woman giving birth to a baby. Now, I'm a man, so I haven't done that. And I have been there when it's been present, and of course, as we all know, it is much, much harder for the man to watch than it is for the woman to give birth. And but you know that when a woman gives birth, there is both the labour and the pain, and there is the joy and the celebration. And you don't get the joy and the celebration without the labour and the pain, because the labour and the pain is the bringing to birth. And in a sense, God is saying, this new thing that I'm doing is like a woman giving birth. It will cause distress. It will be a time of work. It will be a time of labor. It will be a time of pain. It will be a time of challenges. But it will be a time of new things. It will be a time of joy. It will be a time of celebration. And it goes on, and it says that God will lead them in a way that they did not know. And if you've ever been led in a way that you didn't know, if you've ever gone down a path that you didn't know, you didn't know what was to come, you'll know how easy it is to be hesitant about going down a route that you don't know. In our day and age, of course, we've all got, you know, we've got satellites or maps or whatever it is. But the picture is of going down a route, going down a way, going down a path that you don't know. You don't know what's to come. You don't know what's around the corner. It's a bit like walking in the darkness. And if you're led down a way that you don't know, there is always going to be a challenge, because you're constantly coming across situations that present new challenges. The old way is familiar. The old way is known. The old way is like an old pair of slippers, that it's comfortable. You slip into your old slippers and you know where you are. But the new way is full of challenges. The new way requires constant checking for your direction. It's the new way is about bumping into unfamiliar obstacles and learning new things. The new way is about different ways of thinking, different shaping our thoughts in different ways. But it takes us to the place, the new place, that God wants us to get to. And my prayer is that in 2022, that God will get us to the place, God will get me to the place, God will get you to the place that He wants us to get to in 2022. And so the focus on verse 9 is, behold, the former things have come to pass. The things that are up to now have come to pass. But then he says, now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. And the reason that Isaiah is so full, and it is, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is so full of the revelation of the Messiah, the revelation of Jesus, the prophetic revealing of the Son of God. The reason it's so full of that is that Isaiah's ear was open to what God was going to say. Isaiah's ear was open to God's new revelation, God's new activity, God's new agenda. So Isaiah was listening beyond the immediate. He could see what was going on around him in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Judah, but he was listening beyond that. He wasn't just looking at what he could see, but he was listening for what he couldn't see, for what was yet to come. So he was looking beyond the present. And the eternal purpose of God is to establish a kingdom of justice and of righteousness. And that has not altered. The eternal purposes of God to establish his kingdom of justice and righteousness have not altered. But now God speaks of new things, and he specifically calls his people to turn their attention away from the things that are past and to enter into the activities of God's restoration, for God's revival. And God's got an agenda for our life. God's got an agenda for your life, for things that he wants you to do in 2022, for things that he wants to do through you in 2022, for things that he wants to make you, shape you, change you in 2022, for ministry that he wants to arise within you in 2022, for things he wants you to do differently in 2022 to what you've done up to this point. But God's agenda for restoration, God's agenda for revival in our lives, the agenda lies with God. It's up to God what he wants to do in our lives. Yeah? It's up to God how he wants to do a new thing within our lives. The people God will use to shape our lives, the way that God will do it lies with God. Whether or not God uses things that we're used to, or whether God uses new things, is up to God. God is not a sentimentalist. God does have emotions. If you read the book of Hosea, you'll see how the heart of God is emotional over his people. God is emotional over his people in that sense. But he's not a sentimentalist in terms of harking back to the way things were done. God is always creating something new to meet the to overcome the challenges of the enemy and establish his victory. So his agenda is not about helping us. It's not about helping me to take my ease and making things comfortable for me in 2022. His agenda is fulfilling his purposes through my life. And that can be a bit like a woman giving birth. It has the pain and it has the joy in the purposes of God. And you see that right through Scripture. Think of the way that God reveals new ways of overcoming the enemy. Think of David, 1 Chronicles 14, when the Philistines come and they gather in the plain to attack Israel. And David asks God, he says to God, God, give me your word for this battle. And God says, go up against them and you'll overcome them. And he goes up against them straight ahead and he overcomes them. And a little while later, he says, they came back on another raid and they laid themselves out exactly the same way. They thought, we'll do it, we'll come back again, but we'll come back stronger, we'll beat them this time. And David says to God, God, do I do the same as last time? Do I go up against them? And God says, no, you don't do the same as last time. You circle round behind them and you attack them from the back, and God gave them the victory. Same situation, different solution, because God had a new strategy to overcome the enemy. Think of Peter when he was called to take the gospel to Cornelius, and God lowers down the sheet and he says, I'm doing a new thing. And Peter complains to God, says, God, this is not the way that it's been done in the past. I can't do it this way. And God says, no, I'm showing you a new thing. I'm declaring this clean. Think of Paul, he's trying to take the gospel northeast. He's in the middle of Turkey, and he's trying to take the gospel northeast. He's got his thumb out for a donkey going northeast. And God changes him and he says, no, go west, young man. And he goes over the sea to Thessalonica, because God had something new for him to do. Think even of something like the Sermon on the Mount, where repeatedly Jesus says to them, you have heard, but I say to you. It's a new revelation. It's a new truth. It's not altering the eternal purposes of God to bring his kingdom in righteousness and justice, but it's a new revelation of how God is going to do it. Because God is a speaking God. He's a God who's always making his will known to us. He has spoken with his eternal, infallible word in the scriptures. And the truth of scripture never alters. And God will never contradict his own word through any prophetic revelation. God cannot contradict himself. So God will always be true to the scriptures and to what he's written within the scriptures. That's why when some of the Jews came to Jesus and they tried to trip him up about marriage, he said to them, what do the scriptures say? Because they were trying to find a way out of God's way. He says, what did the scriptures say? Listen to the scriptures. And Paul constantly quoted the scriptures when he was explaining to people about the new salvation that God had brought in Christ. But his ears were always open, not to hear things that were contrary to God's word, but for God to speak new things that would enable him to carry out the purpose of God and implement his word. Paul knew from the scriptures that the gospel was to be spread among the nations. He could read it. Paul understood the messianic passages about the gospel going to the nations. But he needed to hear from God where he was going to do it, when he was going to do it. David knew the promise of God that God would give victory over the enemies. It was all written down. But the revelation of God told him how to fight the battle. Peter had not yet understood from the scriptures about the gospel going to the Gentiles, but the revelation of God to Peter brought him into alignment with the scriptures so that he could fulfill what God had spoken. And the prerogative of God in 2022 is to speak to you and to speak to me of his purposes in our lives in whatever way he wants to, and we must embrace the new things that God wants to do in our lives. But to embrace the new things, we need to hear the new things first. I want to just diverge just for a moment, because I want to just say a little bit about a teaching that sometimes goes round to do with this kind of stuff. I don't know if any of you have heard a teaching about the Logos and the Rhema, how people talk about you need a Rhema from God, and there is a false teaching there. Basically, the teaching is that the Logos of God is the general word of God, and it's kind of like dormant until God gives you a Rhema, which is some kind of revelation of that. That is a false teaching. The Bible itself says, Hebrews 4:12, the Logos of God is living and active. And this whole word is not dormant. The problem the Bible clearly says about the children of Israel was that the word had not been united with faith in those who heard it. The problem isn't that this is lying dormant. The problem is in here, that we often don't unite this with faith. So there are not two categories, in a sense, a dormant word and then a word that God brings alive. So I'm not talking about that kind of teaching. But I'm talking about the fact that God wants to reveal to us new things about how he wants to work within our lives. Why does God say forget the former things? Why would God say forget? Why would God tell us to forget the former things? Because dwelling in the former things creates drift within our lives and inertia in our lives. We begin to drift along with the former things. We begin to take on inertia in our lives because we settle into the old slippers. And we lose sight of the new things that God wants to do. It's a bit like a comfort blanket. Our youngest child, Angus, wherever he went, he used to trail this blanket around. And he would put it in his mouth and he would trail it through the dirt. And I'm surprised that the boy's still alive. But this comfort blanket went everywhere. If he took away the comfort blanket, then he would start to get all disturbed. The way that God has done things in the past can be a comfort blanket for us. It's a thing that we hold on to and it makes us feel familiar. But the problem is that as you grow up into maturity, you need to get rid of the comfort blanket because there's new things. And God has got new things for you and for me. And you see there that we read once again that it's the zeal of the Lord. And you cannot live in the zeal of the Lord if you're constantly walking along with a comfort blanket of the things in the past, with your ears not open for the new things that God is wanting to do. And embracing the new things for 2022 in your life, it takes spiritual effort. To embrace new things needs us spiritually to rise up into the new things that God has got to do. It takes energy of the heart, it takes energy of the mind. It takes energy of the soul. It takes energy of the spirit. It takes a sensitivity to what the spirit is saying to us. It takes a prayerful watching to see what God is saying to us. It takes an embracing in faith. And faith is a spiritual activity that requires a lot of spiritual energy. And it stops us saying that God has to do it the same way as he's always done it. And the teaching there in chapter 42, it's not an isolated text. You see, if you just look for a moment, I'm aware that time is going and we need to stop, but just for a moment, Isaiah 43, the next chapter, it says 18 and 19, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth, and will you not be aware of it? I'll make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And then a few chapters later in 48, 3 to 7, "I declared the former things long ago, and they went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them, and suddenly I acted, and they came to pass." In other words, God is saying, listen, I spoke, and I did, and it happened. But then in verse 6, he says, "You have heard, look at all this, and you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. They are created now and not long ago, and before today you have not heard them, so that you will not say, behold, I knew them." Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that in 2022 there are things that God has not said into our lives that he's got to say into your life? That he's bringing to light now in his purposes. And that's not saying that every new thing is right and every new thing is good and every new thing is necessary. It's not saying that every newfangled thing that happens in our lives or in church life is good. But it is saying that there is a general principle that we want to be listening to what God is saying to me today for my life, for my day, for my culture, for my context. Always in line with his eternal infallible word, but new things revealed through the prophets, revealed in visions and dreams, revealed by the Spirit, revealed by prayerful reading of the Word, revealed in our conscience, revealed in prayer itself. God has so many ways of speaking into our life because He is a communicating God. And God will unveil those new things if we are hungry for Him to move in power in our lives in 2022. At the end of that chapter in 42 that we read, it says in verse 23, "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will give heed and listen hereafter?" Just a few chapters later in Isaiah 50, one of my favorite verses is in Isaiah 50, where Isaiah says, "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." Have you got a listening ear in 2022 as a disciple of Jesus? Are you expecting God to do new things in your life? A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas. And one of the great stories of the birth of Jesus is how they take Jesus into the temple. And there is Anna. She's an 84-year-old widow. And she's still looking for God to do new things. She's an 84-year-old widow. And Jesus comes into the temple. And something sparks in Anna's life. And it says she began to proclaim the glories of God. She began to make known the coming kingdom of Jesus. An 84-year-old widow, suddenly with a new lease of life, because the word of God had come to her and shown us God was doing something new. So in 2022, for you and for me, this is my 60th year. So I don't know whether that counts as old or young or somewhere in between, but I'm believing in my 60th year that God is going to do new things, because behold, I do a new thing among you, is what Isaiah proclaims as the word of the Lord. So let's pray, and then we're going to finish with a song. Father, thank you that you are the God of endless renewal and revival. Thank you that you are the God, Father, who is constantly overcoming the enemy with creative victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God that speaks, and thank you that you are the God who has got wonderful things for us to do in 2022. Father, we open our ears to you. Thank you for, Lord, your unalterable, eternal, infallible purposes that you have revealed in your word. But Lord, we open our ears to hear. Tell us, Lord, what you've got to do in our lives, in this year, in your wonderful purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.